This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Chwaba.
That's me, buddy. Hey, Wisconsin, welcome to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday night in the state of Wisconsin. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. It's raining, kind of cold, could be colder, but it's like a typical Monday. Rainy, it's the stereotypical Monday. But you know what? It's not going to get me down because we've got a lot of fun things to talk about tonight. We've got showbiz, baby, movies, TV, comedy, music. We're going to hit everything, and it's going to be a really fun show. And this show, single-handedly, I am hoping, will make your Monday evening 75 and sunny. So let's get started. Let's not waste any more time. The kidding around is pretty much over. We're going to light it up right now. Conrad, you ready?
I am ready.
You know what? I come into the thing all excited like that, and that's the energy I get back.
I am ready.
I thought you'd be excited. You got the whole damn studio to yourself. I'm live in Madison tonight, ladies and gentlemen, at our studios over State Street. So much fun. It is rain. Is it raining there?
Yeah, actually, it started raining as soon as I moved my car from a parking spot into the garage. That's when it started raining. So I had to walk back in the rain.
That's a good sign. Oh, that's a bad sign. Okay. Well, it's great. It is a Monday, and it is the fall. It's rainy. It's a little chilly. It feels like fall, but you know what, ladies and gentlemen, nothing. In fact, I'm such a positive guy. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get us started tonight. We're going to start with the question of the night, because the question of the night affects everything in our lives right now. You know, you could be out there saying gloom and doom. You know, maybe you still have lingering issues over the election. Maybe your sports team lost. Maybe you wanted Mike Tyson to win. I don't know, but we have to stay positive, ladies and gentlemen. And that brings us, first and foremost, before I even tease guests, to our question of the night. Conrad, if you please.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
That's right, folks. We are keeping it positive. That's our new little questions montage. We hope you like it. But the question of the night tonight is going to bring out some positivity, some glass half full on this rainy Monday in Wisconsin. What is the most positive thing in your life? It's that simple. Tell us whether it's the holidays or a new album you love that came out or movie or a team you're following is doing great or you're going to see family, you got a promotion, whatever it is. Give us some positivity tonight on Nightlight. What is the most positive thing in your life? That is the Nightlight question of the night. So let us know if you're on the text, the old school text with the telephone, as they used to call it, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can let us know your answer, and we will read it on the radio. You can also text us using the Civic Media, very easy-to-use app. Nightlight is on the entire network, so click on any of the stations. Unless there's a sporting event happening in your area of our state, you will get Nightlight with any of the stations, and you can just tap the little icon, the text icon. It's very easy to use, right, Conrad?
Oh, it's very easy to use.
It's a piece of cake. Sometimes Conrad just texts himself just to do it because it's so easy.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, it's you can't not be. How can people watch the radio tonight, Conrad?
Of course, yeah. We're on Facebook, WISS, WGBW, and Nightlight with Pete Chwaba. On YouTube, we're under WGBW and Civic Media, and on Twitter or X, Civic Media or WGBW.
Very well said, my friend. So we've got nothing but positivity. I'm in Madison. Conrad's in Green Bay. That's the one negative aspect, but we're getting it done. And it's great to have you with me from wherever you are joining us from across our great state of Wisconsin. Even beautiful when the leaves are down. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. I'll go first, unless you want to go first, Conrad.
No, you go first.
I am excited to have both my kids home soon for the holiday and to sit around and not do a whole heck of a lot. I'm excited to have extended family in town and just to have more than quality time. I'm excited to spend quantity time with my loved ones coming up next week. That is the most positive thing in my life, as well as this moment we are living in right now. What could be better than this moment right now? Because we're all here. So there you go, Conrad. You're up.
All right. Mine's similar. Very similar. I'm actually...
I want a hot dog.
I'm going to Florida next week to see my parents with my brother and my sister-in-law. So going to have Thanksgiving in Florida for, the first time, I believe. And going to golf a little bit. Have some turkey. Do a little Christmas because I don't get to see him during Christmas now this time. So, yeah.
That's pretty good. That's a great thing. I'm actually, that's so exciting. I'm looking forward to that for you. So there you go, folks. We are trying to bring a little sunshine to this rainy Monday. Rainy days and Mondays always get Karen Carpenter down. So let's keep the positivity flowing here on Nightlight tonight. What is the most positive thing in your life? That is our question. So let us know, and we love to read your texts on the radio. Got a really fun show tonight. Madison-based filmmaker and musician and writer James Runday will be on the show tonight. And he will not be able to be here in person, unfortunately, but I have a song that James wrote that is like already one of my favorite songs. Did you give that a listen?
I did, yes.
The Night Has to End, it's called. We're going to play that song when James is here. It's a great song. He's got a clip of his newest movie that I assume will be in the Wisconsin Film Festival next spring. James is a very prolific filmmaker. It seems like every year he has something in the Wisconsin Film Festival or another film festival. He's just a very active artist in this community known as Madison, Wisconsin. And then I'm very excited about this too. We tried to do this last week, but Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show here on Civic Media, had to cancel because he was in a movie and the shoot went a lot longer than he thought it was going to go. So he had to reschedule. So we have Earl on tonight and we are talking film noir. And that's Earl's favorite genre of movie. And I found that out in passing when he was on the show maybe, I don't know, 3 months ago. Right at the end of the interview, I found out he's a big film noir fan. I have kind of fallen in love with that genre of film in the last 15 years or so. And I liked it even before I knew what it was. One of my favorite films is L.A. Confidential. And I had no idea that was a film noir at the time. But a great film. I just watched One False Move a few days ago with Bill Paxton and Billy Bob Thornton. That was the film that kind of put Billy Bob Thornton on the map, at least as a writer. Also a film noir. And those are a couple more current ones. And I want to talk to Earl about The Big Sleep, the Humphrey Bogart film. So we'll have a really fun film noir talk with Earl Ingram Jr. If you aren't familiar with noir, this is Noirvember, thanks to one of our guests, Mariah Gates, who coined the term years ago. Check it out. It's a really fun genre of movies. And it can take you a trip down memory lane. And you can watch Hollywood of yesteryear, which is great, and try to put things in context as to what people were seeing then, what the times were like then, why that film got made. And then in more modern times, you know, Memento is a more recent film noir as well with Guy Pearce. And it was Christopher Nolan's first film that put him on the map in the late 90s. So there's all kinds of different, there's modern, there's, you know, kind of old Hollywood film noirs that you can check out. But we'll talk about a lot of them tonight with Earl Ingram Jr. at 7:20. So there's your show. We're talking positivity tonight. Did you have a good weekend, Conrad?
You know, I wish I could get my Friday night back.
Uh-oh. I know where this is going. Lay it on me, Stretch.
I witnessed, you know, I didn't think it could get worse than other fights that I've seen of Jake Paul. But it could. Yeah. That was the worst thing. I had some of my friends, you know, we're like, okay, we've all been kind of off for a little bit. We're kind of tired. We're like, well, let's just stay up and watch this thing. And we regretted doing that.
You know, I asked a buddy to come over and he was like, I had a long day. I'm just going to chill, whatever. So I sat up and this undercard, it was a long undercard.
Yes.
So I just switched. I watched a show and I'm like, I don't really, you know, it's not even like sanctioned, but it was like 2 minute rounds. And one of the undercards, the guy was like, his professional record was 2-2-1. I'm like, Why do I want to watch this guy fight? He had like more of a gut than I do. Like what? I just don't get it. So here's my issue with the whole broadcast. It's Jake Paul's production company. He's making a lot of money fighting these celebrities or fighting older boxers. He probably admittedly thinks he has no chance against a young Floyd Mayweather or a young Roy Jones or a young Mike Tyson. Obviously not. So what's the point of fighting them when they're old? I mean, if you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart to put money in their pocket, and he pays these guys handsomely to his credit, but why do I need to watch this? Like, I even fooled myself, like, oh, Mike Tyson's fighting. It's not Mike Tyson. He came out in the first round. Within 30 seconds, he put some leather on Jake Paul, hit him three or four times, and I was like, here we go. His legs were gone at 32 seconds, and Roy Jones Jr. even said that. Then he had nothing behind his punches. That was like the longest half hour of my life after that. Brutal.
Yeah, it was bad. Everything about that was terrible. The buffering every 5 seconds.
I meant to get into that. You're right. Yeah, the buffering.
You know,
so you got the buffering, Conrad. Yes. Not only that, the buffering was awful. Millions of people couldn't get on, couldn't see it in real time because of the buffering issue. That's a terrible oversight. Like Netflix didn't see that coming or what, you know, and I don't know. But here's the other thing that drove me crazy was the broadcast. Whoever that guy was with that voice, they were trying to act like this was the thing to watch in the last decade. Yeah. It's at AT&T Stadium, and he's really selling it. Like, I felt like it was an announcer in the Hunger Games or something. I was like, and right now, ladies and gentlemen, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Nobody cares. This isn't 1978. Nobody cares about the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. It's great that they're there. They're talented cheerleaders, but we don't need to feature them in it was just such bad TV.
Yeah. You know, I saw a tweet that said the most exciting thing about that fight was when the buffering went from 99 to the actual loaded in
100. Yeah.
That was the most exciting part. And then you get into
it. Cheers. Yeah. Right. Cheers heard across America because you actually got the fight. I was so surprised. Netflix is the biggest entity in the world. They have almost 300 million subscribers. Billions and come on. You didn't see that coming? I don't get it. All right. Really fun show tonight, folks. When we come back, we're going to read your texts. What is the most positive thing in your life? We're brightening up a rainy Monday here in Wisconsin on Nightlight. So please share the positive things in your life right now. Let's make this a great day together. James Ronde is here at 6:35. I almost said James Ingram is here. That's a totally different thing. And Earl Ingram Jr. will be here to talk film noir. So much fun tonight. We're bringing the sunshine, baby. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Monday night, folks. Monday night edition of Nightlight, but we are trying. It's a rainy night in Wisconsin. To me, the rain, I like rain. I don't, as long as it doesn't rain for like 12 days in a row, I can dig it. I'm okay with rain. But it's Monday. It's rainy. We got to stay positive. We got to get through this night together. I need your help. So keep those texts coming. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Andrew from Maine. He's in the 541, says, most positive thing, the battery in my car, a full 12V positive. You know what? sometimes it's the little things. I'm okay with that. That's great. I love it. Thank you, Andrew. Eric from Lodi says, this is going to sound like a massive suck up, especially since she's listening. But my wife is the most positive thing in my life. Now, Eric. If I were still a stand-up comedian years ago, I would have said, mine too, and said, hi-oh, but I'm not going to do that. That's so great. My wife, I'm with you. That's a great one. It's good to be loved. Excellent text. Thank you so much, Eric. Sherry from Horicon says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. Great to have you with us. Jim from Appleton says, the most positive thing in my life is my wonderful wife of 23 years. Look at this, Conrad. Everybody getting all mushy on me here. I love it. This is great. He says, no, I'm not just sucking up. Everyone has to qualify when they say they love their wife by saying they're not sucking up. It's okay to say that. He says, no, I am not just sucking up. She is always a bubbly, happy person. Attitude is everything, in my opinion, people. And that is great to hear, Jim. Very happy for you. Happy for your wife. What would your wife text in, Jim? What would she say is the most positive thing in her life? I hope she would say you, because you're a pretty positive guy in my text relationship with you experience. Sherry from Horicon says, please don't say mine out loud. All right. I won't. I'm not going to read Sherry's text right now. Eric says, an overlooked sci-fi film noir is 1998's Dark City. Yes. Stars Bruce Willis and Jennifer Connelly. Eric, that is a great one. I saw that probably about 2 years after it came out. I remember renting it at a video store. And I think Rufus Sewell is the other actor. And I want to say, was that before The Matrix? I want to say I felt like it was more well done than The Matrix. I had an opinion on Dark City years ago, and I can't really remember what it was, but I really like the film. That's a great one. Yeah, share your film noirs, people, whatever you guys want to share. Film noir, something positive, the most positive thing in your life, that's what we're asking people to share with us tonight. I say the holidays around the corner, my kids being home, family coming into town, that's very positive. But it is also great to be in this moment. Talking to people about movies and TV, that makes me very happy too. Conrad said he is excited to go to Florida next week to be with his folks and his brother and his sister-in-law. So that's a good one too. From the 715, Joe says the most positive thing is he says, love my friends and family, positive about them. Just went home after a while and it felt great. That's a great text, Joe. There's nothing like people. That's what you got to do, right? Surround yourself with people that love you and that you love back. Very good. Keep those texts coming, folks. Great to hear from all of you. Bridget says, from the 818, Bridget says, my husband and my children, they bring so much light and positivity to my life. Wow, this is great. People. Mostly it's people. I think that's great. We've all said people so far. Conrad, what's the most negative thing in your life? Look at me go negative after all this positive talk.
The most negative thing was... the Chicago Bears almost beating the Packers.
If the most negative thing in your life, A, is involved sports and something that didn't even happen, I have a number you need to call.
Oh, actually, also my fantasy football team's going to lose this week, and I needed a win, so.
Now you're not even talking about sports. You're talking about fake sports. One of the Aaron Rodgers posters in my room is starting to sag a little bit. I got to fix that.
How about, did you watch that game? The Colts and the Jets?
Was Rodgers terrible? I know Jets
yes.
were. I heard
they just all around terrible. They didn't get a first down until I think midway through the second quarter.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is he done?
It looks
Does
like
he not
he's
have people
done.
Around him, or is he just kind of toast?
I don't know, man. It looks like. Anytime someone goes to the Jets, it's where careers go to die.
Yeah. Well, it's what happens when you let your quarterback fire the coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of take over. And congratulations to your Packers. That was a very, yes. That was a big win for the Packers. It looked like the Bears had them. They should have.
I was sweating. Let's say that.
I'm sure. The Bears cannot get out of their own way. They find coaches who find ways to lose.
Yep.
And that's like, what more can you do? I thought the Packers started strong and then they kind of leveled off and it just kind of became a game. And I was like, wow, maybe the Bears have this. And then they found another way to lose. It's awful.
The time of possession was like, the Bears felt like I felt like they had it for.
Yeah.
Like the whole second half.
And I think they had more yards too.
They did. I think I checked in, I don't know, somewhere in the end of third or beginning of fourth, and they had like 100 more yards than us.
Is that right? Oh, that play though, where Jalen Johnson slipped, yeah. And Christian, that might have put them over with yards. But it was still, the broadcast was better than that horrible miserable snooze fest that was the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. I mean, the worst thing about it was they were really selling it. This is the event of the century. Here are the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders who haven't been relevant in 50 years. And then this guy you've never heard of is going to fight. And it's like, you know, all the salesmanship, it's just like turd polishing. It was like, I'm sorry, there's nothing here but a lot of suck. Even the fight was interesting for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then Tyson's legs went, it's like, okay.
The walkouts were more interesting than the fight.
Yeah. And I'm repeating myself, but that's how irritated I was.
You know,
and I couldn't even get it.
I'm wondering how they're going to handle the football that Netflix is putting on. They're doing the Christmas games this year.
Right.
So I'm wondering how they're going to handle
that. Screw that up. Yeah. Hey, you saw Red One. We got to talk about that too at some point.
Yes.
So we'll do that. But coming up next, after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed on this rainy Monday night, which is beautiful, and we are celebrating positivity tonight. We'll have local Madison-based musician and filmmaker James Runde joins me. Coming up later, Earl Ingram will join me to talk film noir. But James is up next, folks. Don't go away. He's a great guest. And we'll have more Nightlight right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. He's the greatest dancer.
One night in a disco on the outskirts of Frisco, I was cruising with my favorite gang. The place was so boring, filled with out-of-towners touring. I knew that it wasn't my...
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me here for Nightlight on this rainy Monday in Wisconsin. I hope you're having a wonderful night. From the 541, excuse me, Andrew from Maine says, at least the Badgers almost beat the Oregon Ducks. Boy, that's glass half full. They sure did. That was a bogus call, too. Was it chop? I think they called it chop block or something.
Yeah, they called it chop.
That was pretty bad.
I was actually really happy with how they performed because I thought it was going to be a blowout, but they showed that they can play some football still.
They just don't have any room for error.
You
can't get a call like that when you're the Badgers playing the number one team in the country. But all that is neither here nor there, because right now I'm about to welcome a friend of mine to the show who is a very talented filmmaker and musician and lives right here in Madison. And he joins us now over the stream, and his name is one James Runde. James, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Pete?
Good. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for I would rather you were here in person. so I could shake your hand, but it just didn't work out this time. But thank you for your time tonight. I know you're a busy guy, and we always appreciate it.
Save me a rainy trip in. So
yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in the throes of some home improvement projects that are overdue. So
okay, like what?
So I embarked upon this crazy journey of buying a dilapidated fixer upper in my family's hometown of Dubuque, and we are trying to winterproof it before winter comes. It's mostly winterproofed. There's one broken window to deal with, but yeah, stuff like that. So that's been on my mind lately, and a few gutters need repair. So trying to get that done.
You know what that sounds like to me?
James? Old manism syndrome.
No, it sounds like a song. I think you need a metaphor, an old house. Come on, man.
That's right. Yeah.
I know you'll turn that into something. You have to be one of the most prolific filmmakers that I've met. It seems like every year when I do stuff with the Wisconsin Film Festival, you have something playing. Do you have anything coming up this year?
God, I'm trying to get one in there that I have half done. It's been going on for a while, but no, what I've been spending my time on this year is actually promoting the films of others, as well as writing a feature horror script, which is hopefully going to go into production next year.
Really?
So, yep. So I've spent the, I had a couple other projects that are in edit and are having some trouble just because of lack of time, as the fixer upper would indicate. But basically what I've been doing this year is I compiled a list a collection of great short films that are made by recent graduates, young filmmakers in our state of Wisconsin, mostly Madison and Milwaukee folks. But some of them would have won either showed or won some awards at various film festivals around the state. And I've been taking those to different college campuses. So if folks are listening in Superior or Green Bay, or, you know, if, and you got a chip on your shoulder about, huh, all the arts and movies are in Madison or Milwaukee, this is your chance to come check out the Midwest Movie Mixtape. And, get hip to some of the strangest and, I don't know, they're avant-garde, the funniest films that you maybe have seen come out in a while. There's no rules with these young kids, you know what I mean? They're attacking the form. And these are like, 15 or minutes or less. So you can, and a lot of them are only like 3 minutes. So you can digest them pretty quickly. And there's a lot of creativity going on. So if you're bored with the 10th million Marvel movie, maybe this is a, a respite.
You know, I think you, it's interesting. Like you say, you're writing a feature now.
Mm-hmm.
Your film Played Out, which I really enjoyed at the Wisconsin Film Festival a few years ago, two or three years ago, was longer. What most excites you? Because the cool thing about shorts is you can do anything.
Yes.
You don't have to adhere to any tent poles or a 30-minute plot point, this, that. You could just do whatever. And sometimes you see something really cool.
Yep.
Is that a more – do you like that form better than attempting a feature? Or what's your preference?
Yeah, I think it's also more forgiving.
Yeah.
I think the feature film is, for those who have ever, I feel like a lot of people have kind of had this whim in their head, like, oh, I could write a movie, actually one of my friend's dads wrote a whole feature script.
Oh, wow.
Just as a hobby, like he had never had any training and just kind of embarked on it, and it never saw the light of day. And it just kind of stayed in a filing cabinet. But, a lot of people think, a feature is, it's such a, and I'm susceptible to this. I'll be like, oh, that'd be a great idea for a feature. But the thing about writing a feature is it's a complex puzzle. And I'm sure you know that, Pete, from your various features.
Yeah, it's math equation. Yeah,
it really is. And it's like this moving Rubik's Cube where once you think you got it figured out, one little thing being wrong could unravel the whole thing. And now you got to kind of build it back up and like re-heal the wound. You know what I mean? I'm running out of metaphors, but...
fix the paint on the old house. put the shades back up.
I'm sorry to sound like my grandpa. He has all these crazy obscure metaphors, but the feature is a lot more of a it's like the New York Times. Here you go. Here's a good one. It's the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle, whereas the short is perhaps like one of those mini crossword puzzles. Yeah.
Oh Wordle. Yeah, that's good.
Or like there's maybe like four or five clues in it.
Yeah.
So it's a real good way to get your feet in. And as a result, you see stuff from people who aren't as, maybe they're not as set in their ways, or they're doing something for the first time and they come at it with some idea that you never would have really thought of or had. And that's definitely true of the idea of some of the films in this year's Midwest Movie Mixtape. And the whole idea is that every year, since I'm kind of busy guy, I can't do it more than a year, but every year I'll pick a new batch of films and then basically take it on tour around the state to all the college towns and all the places that'll really have me. So if you're out there listening, Nightlight audience, and you're thinking, oh, this kid kind of sounds like he might have a decent idea here. Maybe we could, the screenings can be free. I can bring a speaker and a projector and set it up anywhere in a park, anywhere there's power.
I love that.
A screen. So, so the idea is just bringing the films to the people and trying to build, communication with some of the anybody that has a film production school. That's kind of where I've been first taking my cues, is going to every single UW school that has any type of program in TV or film and trying to meet with those professors and get the kids excited there and just see if it grows. So we're in year one.
So let me ask you this. This is not was not on my question list, but what you said reminded me of this. They're trying to get these incentives in Wisconsin to, you know, get tax breaks and all that kind of stuff, which I think is great. And I think, I love all the states to do it. I know there's a lot of Wisconsin filmmakers that would love to make their film in their home state. And we've got everything. We've got urban landscapes, you know, rural woods, rivers, lakes, yada, yada. But I don't know that I'm not saying they're not sustainable, but I feel like what you're doing, and even if you do it younger, if you build a culture where you facilitate filmmakers and you get people interested at a young age and it just becomes part of the Wisconsin culture, you have a better chance of sustaining incentives. Because I know they try the incentives here before, and I think the people on board now are great people, and I hope they're successful, but I really feel like you need to start young and just make it part of the fabric. Is that crazy, or what do you
think? No, I think that's exactly what I'm thinking, because I think the other, you know, it's the incentives, no doubt, are going to be, you know, that is kind of the holy grail. And I hear that from more serious productions all the time, that's one of the biggest things that trips up, you know, because obviously the tax and budget math doesn't really work out without those for these bigger productions. But I think by the flip side of that, you know, because Wisconsin is a state without them, locations and people are willing to provide their labor and, you know, whatever they can for a lot less money, because we don't get any productions. And when one does try and do something, a lot of people are willing to donate their time and energy and whatever they can to help make it successful. So I think you would start to see that, or you'd get more of the LA where it's like, another film production coming to ask and use, you know, my ice cream shop. But just to play the devil's advocate, although I do agree that I think film incentives would help out a lot, and I think would actually ultimately benefit the state, like tourism wise and all this other, you know, all the other reasons that people justify it. But I think you're right that, you know, Facebook started in colleges. You know, if anybody that wants to try and take over the market is targeting, you know, 18 to 22. So I think in that regard, it just kind of makes logical sense that if you can change the culture in that age bracket, or get that age bracket, because they're also open to new ideas. You know, their brains aren't fully formed and they're not crotchety old, you know, has-beens like me and you, Pete, you know.
To get the incentives here, don't you think it would help to legalize weed first? Yeah. More filmmakers are going to want to come here. They don't want
exactly.
to drive to Menominee, Michigan to buy a joint, you know. So you sent us a clip from a film. I think we may have discussed this, like, at the last Wisconsin Film Festival, but it was called The Last Milk. Tell me what that clip is from, and then we'll hear it.
So I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my mother's brother. So my uncle, who is one of, you know, he was one of the legions of small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, the Wisconsin, you know, the America's Dairyland. And so he milked, you know, about 40 to 80 cows throughout his career, which is by today's standards, incredibly small, but by, you know, 1950 standards, fairly large actually. So, it's a film about his time, and, you know, he got into the dairy industry in 1981, following in the footsteps of his father, who was also a farm, did for some part of the time dairy, but was a farmer. And so he, you know, got into it at a really young age, 1981, and then went all the way up until 2023 or so. It was like, whatever the math ended up being, it was like 39 years, basically.
Jeez.
So he did it for a long, long time in a very, if you were to go in the barn, it doesn't look like, you know, a modern CAFO's barn. It's very, you know, barns of like the 1910s to 30s often had stanchions for each animal, so the cows would have their own little stall in this long barn, and so you'd go down the row of the stall and basically milk them all one by one, whereas now they kind of have the cows elevated, and there's some places even have like a rotating mechanism where the cow can like rotate on this giant disc, so that like the person, you know, attaching the machine just stays in one place and the cows move to that person. So there's all this labor saving technology that have obviously totally, you know, change the nature of the dairy industry, and that's what you're going to hear a little bit about in this clip.
So have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Not often enough to say that I have. Like, seriously, but I've had the novelty of doing it.
I'm kind of like, I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
I don't know if that's true. You might like it. You might like it if it's not at 4:35 in the morning.
I'd certainly like it better.
If you got the afternoon shift, you might like it.
All right. Here is a clip from the documentary, right, James?
Yep.
Yeah, a documentary James is working on called The Last.
Yeah, it's actually out, but
it's out.
Available on YouTube. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh, very cool. Okay, so here's a clip from The Last Milk.
Every single neighbor was Darien. And then just lose a few this year and lose a few more next year. And now I think it's down to where the whole township only has 4 dairy farms left. But there's one or two that are small. But then the dairy size, the farms really got large scale. I think a lot of that has to do with the technology and stuff that come along. The advancements in that labor-saving technology and stuff, I think, enabled some of those guys that wanted to get large to get large. Whether it's good or not, I don't know, but that's the way it is. And you know, it seemed like evidently they can produce milk cheaper or more efficiently than the smaller guys, and then it just got to where it was physically demanding and really not financially rewarding.
So, all right, so let's do this. We have to do a quick break, James, and come back and tell us what we were hearing there. And then you sent a song too, dude, that I just love. And I'd never heard it before. So let's address the clip after a very quick break here. And then we've got some music coming up from James too. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
In the 608, Monica from Mount Horeb says, just realized... Our question, by the way, is what is the most positive thing in your life? We're trying to make this rainy Monday a happy day. So please inundate us with your positivity tonight, folks, at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Monica from the 608 says, just realized that my sister can't eat the other half of the Culver's mint chip pint I offered her the other day due to some lactose intolerance. So I have that to look forward to after working out, which will then prompt me to work out more. So I'm technically doing something positive for my health, right? Yes, Monica, you are. Eat as much mint chocolate chip ice cream as you can and then get on that treadmill. That's fantastic. Steve from the 920 says, most positive thing in my life is my family. So cool to hear all the family stuff we're hearing tonight. And then Cam from Appleton sent a picture of Elon Musk with a smile that is backwards because he kind of smiles upside down. And Conrad, I might need some help trying to figure out what the positivity is of that. I guess if you hold him upside down, he's smiling. All right, we'll keep reading your texts. Please keep them coming, folks. Always more fun when you guys participate. Right now, my guest is Madison-based filmmaker and musician James Runde, very talented guy. We just heard a clip from The Last Milk. And what did we hear there, James? That was one of your characters in the documentary talking about. Tell us.
That's my Uncle Jim. And his wife, Nancy, and they are, I recorded that interview when we were up north on vacation, me and my sister did. So they're just kind of sitting at the table in their vacation, whatever. I mean, I say cottage, that makes it sound fancy. It's a one room, you know,
cabin.
Yeah. There you go. One room cabin. So that's where they are. And talking about, you know, this is a follow-up interview after they had retired. So the whole premise of the film was that I went down there and actually filmed the last time they milked the cows, hence the title of the film, because it was an occasion. And, you know, if I mean, I feel like a lot of listeners may know something about dairy cows, but for those who don't, the dairy cows need to be milked twice a day. Otherwise, they could, you know, become unhealthy and develop
really
mastitis. And yeah, they could, you know, it could be really, really bad for them. And ultimately, you could, you know, basically lose the cow if you don't give them a very, very strict routine. So that's why dairy farmers really can't go on vacation. So when you milk a cow, you know, you milk cows for 38 and a half, 39 years, it's like, that's an incredible
wow
time commitment.
Oh my gosh.
To be waking up at 5 a.m and doing that every single day of your life. So it's an incredible discipline that you need to have. So anyway, the last milk was literally like, you know, that evening or whatever, probably around 4 or 5 o'clock, they milked the cows. And then the truck was going to come in the middle of the night to, you know, take all the cows away. And then they would obviously have to be put up for milked and then put up for auction the next that morning. So so basically when you see him walk the cows out of the barn, that is in fact like the last time he pretty much walked them out of the yard. Yeah. So it's pretty, pretty emotional. And then the interview that I did was still with that fairly fresh in their mind. Cause it was probably it was the next summer, I think, that I interviewed him. So, and this would have been like not this past summer, but the summer before that I interviewed them and the film came out. So they're just kind of talking about what it was like, in their, you know, career milking and some of the changes that they saw. And obviously you can kind of, what I like about that clip is that you can hear, the expressiveness in their voices about just how things changed. And I feel like emotionally speaking, you know, whether or not things are always going to change and whether you agree with the, you know, sort of the direction the agriculture industry has gone or not, I don't think my Uncle Jim's really commenting on that necessarily as much as just the emotional tenor that it held for a lot of these communities, which, you know, a lot, you know, they live in a part of the state where, you know, the biggest city in their county is Platteville. And even that's only about 10,000. And a lot of these towns are, you know, 2,000, 3,000 or less. And a lot of these high schools have seen declines in enrollment since a lot of, the land that makes up these mega farms used to make, you know, probably provide a living for a lot more people and a lot more homes. And now, you know, you drive down a lot of these state highways, county roads, and you'll see, you know, overgrown silos and, you know, farmhouses that are collapsing into ruin. And it's because, you know, a lot of those 40 acre, 80 acre farms have now been swallowed up into 1,000, you know, 1,000 acre farm with 1,000 cattle or whatever.
It's crazy. James, do you have something that's positive in your life you focus on today? What are you thankful for? What do you feel positive about?
I resonate with all the family and stuff.
Yeah.
That's nice. Friends, you know, my sister's birthday was this past weekend, so that was a really positive experience for me. I went down, she's 25. She's my youngest sibling. I'm the oldest. So we went down and partied it up in Chicago a little bit. And that was really a positive thing for me.
A lot of people are saying family. We have a caller. Conrad, can we squeeze this caller in before the break?
We do not have that much time.
Oh, we don't. All right. Ask the caller if they can hang on. James, can we keep you for a few minutes past the news? I want to play your song, and we'll discuss that a little bit too. All right. James Ronde is here, Madison-based musician and filmmaker. We're going to take a phone call when we get back. We're going to hear James's new song, which is fantastic. One of the coolest songs I've heard in a long time. We're going to play that next after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. So great to have you on this rainy Monday joining me here on Nightlight. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh,
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.